For hymn number 522, my hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clad in his righteousness alone, for the less to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, and be seated.
It's time for the children's story, so if the children would like to come forward at this time. Well, good morning. How many of you have ever lost anything that was so important to you? Several of you have. I know I've lost some things. My most famous thing that I lose are my sunglasses. And sometimes I can look all around the house for my sunglasses and finally discover they're on my head. But that happens a lot. But today I'm going to tell you a story about a boy named Joshua. Now, Joshua didn't live nowadays. He lived long, long time ago. And it was his birthday. And birthdays are so exciting because you get presents and you get to have birthday parties. Well, Joshua wasn't able to get lots of presents. And he wasn't able to have a party. And that's because his family didn't have much money. They had very little. And his mom told him, Joshua, I'm very sorry, but this year we can't have any celebration, and I have no money to buy you any gifts. But I'll try to make something special for dinner tonight. So Joshua was a little discouraged. And on his birthday morning, he knew his mom didn't have anything for him for his birthday. Well, Grandpa lived with them. And Grandpa, at breakfast, went up to Joshua and he says, "Well, it's your birthday, and I have something for you." And he said, "Hold out your hand." And he handed Joshua a bright, shiny quarter. Now, back then, a quarter was a lot of money. It could buy quite a bit of stuff. And Joshua's eyes just lit up with this quarter. He couldn't believe it. 25 cents all to himself. He could do whatever he wanted with that 25 cents. This turned out to be an awesome birthday. Well, he stuck his quarter in his pocket, and he went off to school. And every once in a while during the day, he'd slip his hand into his pocket, and he'd feel that quarter. He'd go, "Oh, I got that quarter to spend. This is so exciting." And at lunchtime, he felt in his pocket for that quarter, and it was still there. Oh, it felt so good. It was so cool. And he took it out, and he looked at it again. It was nice and shiny, bright, and he was trying to imagine all the things that he could possibly buy with his shiny new quarter. And he got home at night, and he put his hand in his pocket. He was so excited. He couldn't wait. He went into his room. He did some of his homework, and he kept feeling that quarter in his pocket. Well, after dinner, his mom said, "It's time to get ready for bed." So he went upstairs, and he went to go get his quarter out of his pocket and put it on the dresser, and something was wrong. Can you guess what was wrong? What was wrong?
It was gone.
It was gone. There was no quarter there. Oh, no. What was he going to do? His shiny 25-cent quarter was gone. Oh, he ran down the stairs. "Mom, my quarter. Have you seen my quarter anyplace?" And she says, "Joshua, no, I haven't. Where did you leave? Where did you have it?" "In my pocket, and it's not there." "Well, could it have fallen out someplace? Where did it go?" And he said, "Well, I was at school, and it was in my pocket, and I kept feeling it in there. I had lunch, I felt it then, and after I came home from school, I felt it in my pocket then. It was there, Mom, honest, it was there, and now it's not there." Oh, no. Well, they started searching the house, and they couldn't find it any place. And Joshua was so discouraged, because he had all these plans of what he was going to spend his quarter on. And his mom said, "Joshua, I don't know what to do." She says, I don't know where we're going to find it. It's just not here." And so Joshua went up to his bedroom really sad. And it was time to go to bed. And he knelt down by his bed. And he said, "Dear Jesus, I want that quarter so badly. That was my birthday present. And you know where it is. Please, dear Jesus, help me find my quarter. Amen." And he started to climb into bed. And then he thought of something. "I was doing my homework on my bed. And I was laying down on my bed reading my book." He quickly got out of his bed. And he started looking around the bed, any place he could find. And he looked under, lifted up the skirt of his bed. And there was his quarter, shiny, bright under his bed, right there at the corner. He found his quarter. Well, he didn't just get into bed. he got on his knees again and he thanked Jesus. He says, thank you, Jesus. You knew where that was and you helped me remember exactly where it was. Well, Pastor Dennis is going to tell us a story today about another person who lost a coin. And so when you go back to your seat, I want you to remember something. You can always ask Jesus for help. You can go back to your seat.
Well, this is really fun for me. This week at the Adventist Media Center, we had a week of prayer, and George came every morning, and we did music together. And on Thursday morning, we sang this song, One Day at a Time. And he said, why don't you come to Camarillo this Sabbath and do it? I said, only if you'll do it with me. And then I get an extra bonus of having Dave join us, so we're going to do a trio for you, and an extra bonus of Tim accompanying us on the bass. So this is quite exciting for me. And come to find out, this is Voice of Prophecy's annual offering Sabbath. So I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. But I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult to follow the words of this song, to live one day at a time. I'm already worried about what's happening next week, some board meetings that are coming up, a shoot that's happening in about a month from now. I'm just already thinking ahead and worrying about those things. And I have to remind myself that really, we can only live this day. And if we get up every morning and dedicate that day to the Lord, that's all we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. So I hope you enjoy this trio rendition of One Day at a Time. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, just teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, dear Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, dear Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, that it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So for my sake, Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, dear Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, dear Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today,
One day at a time.
Well, since I'm already here and have the mic in hand, I'll just go right on into our offering call. But actually, I just wanted to have Ted was going to try and have us see something there on the screen for a second, Connie, before we begin. So a lot of you may recognize those voices in that song pretty readily from having heard the beginning of the Voice of Prophecy broadcast. And knowing that it's been around since 1929, when HMS Senior first had the first broadcast on one radio station on KNX 1070 News Radio. So that's where it began. And so now we know that it's on many more stations, certainly. But the history of Voice of Prophecy and what it means to us as Seventh-day Adventists in terms of the broadcast capabilities that it has of reaching the thousands, if not millions, of people that it has and continues to do. I asked Connie to share a little bit. I know that there's things that are going on at the VOP in the next year especially that are particularly of interest as we think about our giving plans.
That's right, and I didn't know we were going to see that, and look at all those members of the King's Heralds. I mean, that was a lot of guys, and just seeing Bob Edwards and some of them, you know, brings back lots of memories. But an 82-year-old ministry, as you all know, HMS Senior started it in a chicken coop in October 19, 1929, on the eve of the Great Depression, and here, 82 years later, we're still proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world. You have the sister of the current speaker director, Dolores Trujillo, is the sister of Fred Kinsey, our current speaker director. We're on our fourth generation, HMS Senior, Junior, Lonnie Milashenko, and now Pastor Kinsey. And we have an exciting thing happening, and this is really exciting that today is the annual offering, because Voice of Prophecy is taking on probably the most ambitious project, don't you think, Ada, we've done in decades, maybe since they had the mass graduation in Brazil, you know, years ago with HMS Junior. And actually, we'd like to invite all of you to Anchorage, Alaska, on June 9 next year, 2012. We're having a mass graduation from the Discover Bible School in Alaska, in Anchorage, and we expect to fill the Egan Center in Anchorage with this graduation. What we're doing is it's We Are His Voice to Alaska. We're reaching Alaska with every single home in Alaska with a Discover Bible School card. Now, that's kind of difficult when you think of Alaska and the far-flung churches and everything, but most of them are centered around Anchorage. And we're going to put a Discover Bible School card in. There's 300,000 homes. There's 700,000 Alaskans. 3,500 are Seventh-day Adventists, and I don't know about the math, but that's like half of 1%. That's not good. So we've already been up there. We're training the Alaskans. We're going up there with teams of people, Bible school cards, and then as the enrollment cards come in and they sign up for lessons, we expect to have just thousands of people studying the Bible, and hopefully they'll be ready for the graduation on June 9. But this is a project not only with Voice of Prophecy, but with a quiet hour, with family reunion music. There is a cruise going up to Alaska, and there will be a family reunion concert, a Vision Builders event up there, and then we start into a net series called Revive with all kinds of speakers that are going to be there for 8 nights, and we'll have a baptism on June 16. So please be praying for Voice of Prophecy. We thank you so much for your support, and pray for us as we try to reach Alaska with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to still lift up that trumpet and loud let it ring.
Thank you, Connie. I just wanted to add anecdotally, 30 years ago, I believe it was this very Sabbath, I stood in front of this church and joined it by profession of faith because I had gone through the Discover Bible classes and was not a Seventh-day Adventist before that, before I met Tammy and her family, and so it has special meaning to me as well. So as we think about our giving, if you're not prepared today to do what you'd like to do for Voice of Prophecy, you can certainly, there's an online capability to do that if you want to think a little bit forward, knowing that the plans are out there for next year's large project, as well as thinking about our own church budget for this Sabbath. The loose offering will go to that. So if the deacons would please stand as they serve us, we'll pray together and ask God to bless our tithes and offerings. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, we're so, so grateful to you for all the gifts you've blessed us with, for music, for all the talents you've blessed this church with to be able to share both with one another and with this community. We ask now, Father, that as we reach into our purses and our wallets to be able to give back to you what's already yours, and you've told us you'll pour out a blessing upon us even more than we can understand, if we'll just be faithful to you, that you will now this morning honor that promise and bless us as we give. Help us to have cheerful hearts that give to you with gratitude. Forgive us, we pray now. Thank you for hearing our prayer and answering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is found in Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Shall we all kneel as we come before the throne of grace? Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you as your corporate church, as your bride of Christ. We come to you as the most precious thing that you have on this earth. We know, Heavenly Father, that as we look through our bulletin and we see the contrast of praises and concerns and needs and bereavement, that you can turn this upside down. That you can make all of this sadness, all of this pain and grief, you can come and reach into our hearts so that we will feel your healing love. We know that you love us that much. We know that you care about each of our fears, our needs, our concerns, and our loss, just as personally as we feel them. And Heavenly Father, we lay the Camarillo Church before you in humble prayer. And in this supplication, we praise you for your love. We praise you for your guidance. But again, we plead that you heal our hearts, that you repair our brokenness, and that you become what we need to understand. You become us so that we are known not only because we love one another, but we are known because the Camarillo Church loves Jesus. We are the lost coin. We don't even know that we are lost, but we come to you with the assurance that as you find us, you have redeemed us, and that you will not spit us out of your mouth, but you will invite us to stand beside the throne of God in his kingdom, for we are your children. We thank you for this blessing, Heavenly Father. In thy Son's blessed name of Jesus, amen.
In 1955, a man by the name of George Beverly Shea was on an ocean liner to England when a fellow passenger came up to him and said, "What's it like to be with Billy Graham and to watch thousands of people respond to an altar call? What's that like when stadiums full of people, people decide to give their hearts to the Lord and then they walk forward for the altar call?" And George Beverly Shea, who, by the way, in February turned 102, he's still with us, he said to this man, "You know, I can't even begin to describe the wonder of it all." And the man wrote those words on a card and handed it to him and said, "I think that's a song title." And he went back to his cabin and he wrote this classic song.
There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest. blessed the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Think about that song. The wonder of it all. And how fabulous Jesus is. How gracious and loving he is. Because he doesn't want anybody lost. He came searching for you and for me. I want to share some requests with you this morning. One is a praise. That's the first one. In our midst today are two carol lows. That's good news, isn't it? That in of itself is a praise. One of those carols has a birthday. Does she know which one she is? Now she's sitting on, where is Carol? The one I'm talking about now, I clued our Carol Lowe in that I was going to do this morning. I said, I didn't want to give you a shock. Ah, okay, she's in the mother's room. She's with her son Roy and grandchildren. That's where you would find her. Yes. All right, I was looking over here with the rest of the family, but now she's in the mother's room. That's where mothers love to be, grandmothers in particular. So, are you with me this morning? Carol, stand up. We got to see who you are. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carol. Happy birthday to you. On a sadder note, I just got word this morning from Danny Saito. Tomoko was his wife, was just diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and she will be having surgery near the end of the month of October. So she's a little nervous and a little afraid right now, and I can understand that, can't you? And I asked Danny if I could make this announcement, and he said yes. Please do, Pastor Dennis. She needs our prayers. She's nervous. She's afraid. She doesn't have to be because she's in Jesus' hands, right? But when you see Tomoko, just give her a big hug. Keep her in your prayers and let her know how much you love her. Earlier this morning, around 8 o'clock, my phone rang. Actually, I got a text, and it was from Bonnie Williams. Bonnie and Bill were in Escondido at their daughter's home. And around 2 o'clock this morning, Bill was in so much pain that they had to call for the ambulance to take him to the hospital. So he is currently in Palomar Medical Center. As you will know, or most of our church family knows, Bill has pancreatic cancer and has been going through a real heavy dose of chemo here recently. This has been an ongoing procedure because his particular problem is that the pancreas is very close to the aorta that runs through the middle of your body. And they've been trying to shrink it to get it away from the aorta so they could do surgery. I saved that portion for now because I'm going to invite all of our church family members, and even if you've never met Bill Williams, you've missed a treat. Bill is Mr. Pathfinder in this church. Bill loves children. In fact, it was when they were at Oshkosh on the Pathfinder campout, he was the drill instructor for the Pathfinders, and they had completed their march, and at the very end of the march, he collapsed. And when he got back home, that's when they discovered that he had pancreatic cancer issues. Bill has been the most positive Christian man I've ever met. His attitude has been phenomenal. I had the privilege of stopping and chatting with him Tuesday, a week and a half ago. He was outside, headed off for his walk, and we had a chance to chat for a few minutes. And even then, his attitude was better than mine. I mean, he's just so upbeat and positive. We need to remember Bonnie as much as Bill in our prayers right now, because this is a hard walk for her, having just laid her mother to rest not long ago. This is tough on her. And so I'm going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to just invite each and every one of you, even if you don't know Bill Williams, you would want to know Bill Williams. He's that kind of man. And I think it would be very fitting for us this morning to have some quiet prayer time, and then I will close that prayer time. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to church to meet you with our brothers and sisters. It's the closest earthly example of what it means to get to the throne room of heaven, where you and the Father are sitting. You have all of the situations of this earth before your view. And on your heart and your mind today is Bill Williams. You know exactly what he's going through. You know what is coming next for Bill and Bonnie. We also know that you have he and Bonnie wrapped in your arms. We have been praying for healing for Bill. And we continue that prayer. But Jesus, you know exactly what he needs. You know what your plan is for him. And you're calling us this morning to accept your desire for Bill. A great man who has been a tremendous influence to this church family, to the children and now adults of this church through his Pathfinder leadership and the sharing of his gifts. And so, Jesus, my prayer this morning is that you wrap your arms of love around Bill and Bonnie and their family, and that you just hold them safely and secure, and you be the comforter that you promised to be as you send the Holy Spirit into their hearts and lives to bring them the peace that they need. I pray, too, that you will remove the pain from Bill's life. Give him comfort. Give him rest. And save him. Keep his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. All of our prayers today. In Jesus' name, amen. We need light in our lives, don't we? You know, I was trying to figure out how to illustrate this morning what it would be like to be in a home during Jesus' time. One thing they didn't have were matches. So you don't mind if I don't rub sticks together today, but I take the match and light a lamp. I invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to John, the 15th chapter. And let's revisit these three verses. John 15, beginning with verse 8. Now, this is a parallel parable, no pun there intended, to the one on the lost sheep. And here's what Jesus shared with us. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's good news. In the East, the houses of the poor usually consisted of one room, often windowless and dark. The room was rarely swept, and dust would accumulate and build up, and a coin falling on the floor could easily be swallowed up in that dust. So in order to find that coin, the owner of the house or the lady of the house would pick up the broom and carefully move furniture. She would sweep and not give up until she found that coin. And the loss of one of those 10 coins was big in her world and in her life, because this was what she was keeping to share with her daughter. It was probably part of her dowry that she received when she was married to her husband. So the loss of one of those silver coins would be significant to her and to her family. And so when she found it,
I found it,
she was really excited. So my friends, how about you? Who is lost in this parable? Is it the actual coin? Or is it about a person? No, it's about a person. Jesus was using the coin to make a point. He used a woman to make a point because oftentimes Jesus would have parables that related to men, and he had parables that would relate to women and how they interacted together and the lessons that we could learn from their life experiences. Such was the case with the lost coin. A woman who lost a prized possession and searched diligently until she found it. What I love about Jesus is that he loves you and he loves me, and he knows who's lost, doesn't he? Yeah, I was recently talking with one of my friends at McDonald's, and one of the things he asked me is, "Pastor Dennis, do you believe in predestination?" In other words, everybody is saved. And I'm going, to a point. But a saved person can choose not to be saved. That is a choice. No, it's not, he says. And I think these two parables illustrate that very fact. That you can be a member of the flock, you can be a member of a church family housed in here and be lost, can't you? Yes, you can. You can make that choice. So I'm still working on it. Pray for me and my McDonald's ministries as I reach out to these men. I'm having more fun. Not as much fun as I am having with each of you. But it is fun to be able to witness and minister to these men there at McDonald's. So in the parable of the lost coin, one of the important points that we want to go home with today is the fact that when the lost is found, what happens? We have long faces, and we get down, and no, what happens? When the lost is found, wow, everything stops. What did the lady do? She was rejoicing, and she was so excited when she got home and got the coin back in the bag from which it had fallen. She then went and called her neighbors, didn't she? She called her friends, and she says, come on, we've got to celebrate. I found my lost coin. What do we do when a member in our church gets lost but finds their way back home? Are we sad? No. What do? We go and put our arms of love around them and say, thank you for coming home. We've missed you. We love you. We care for you. You're special to us. You always have been. We're glad you're back home. You know what I love about this, too, is what happens in heaven when one sinner repents and one sinner returns to the fold and one sinner is found. Who else rejoices with us? The angels in heaven. Not only Jesus, but the angels. It's phenomenal. I love it. The angels rejoice when one's soul is saved. Now, the parable of the lost sheep was apparently addressed to men. The parable of the lost coin was addressed to women, but that's neither here nor there. I think there are applications to every gender in these stories. But one of the differences is the lost sheep knew it was lost, didn't it? But it didn't know how to get back home. The shepherd had to leave the flock, the 90 and 9, to go looking for that one lost sheep. And when he found it, what did he do? Remember, he put the sheep on his shoulders and carried it back home. Jesus loves to carry you and me. That's how much he loves us. And so the lost sheep represents those who realize that they are separated from God and who are in a state of perplexity and distress and humiliation, and they may be sorely tempted, but they know they are lost, but can't find their way back home. We need to go searching for them. The lost coin represents those who are lost in trespasses and sins, but have no sense of their condition. Wow. So in this parable, Jesus teaches that even those who are indifferent to the claims of God are the object of his love. Isn't that incredible? That, to me, is the nuts and bolts of this particular parable. The sheep wandered away from the fold, the church. It was lost in the wilderness or the mountain. The coin was lost in the house. The coin could be sitting right in the pew next to you, so to speak. But yet, needs to find, be found and become again part of the fold. The coin, though lying amongst the dust and rubbish, ooh, that sounds kind of unpleasant, doesn't it? Not to refer to us as dust and rubbish. It's a piece of silver still, isn't it? You are all precious in Jesus' sight. You are more precious than anything. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Jesus seeks this lost coin, just as we must seek the lost coin because it is of great value. So every person, every child, every individual is precious to God, regardless of their sinful condition. The woman, what did she do? She searched diligently. What must we do as members of the Camarillo Adventist Church? What are we to do? Starting in our own homes, what are we to do? Search diligently. We may need to light the candle. We may need to open up God's Word. May need to. We must open up God's Word and ask Him for guidance on what to do and how to help us find the lost coin in our own home. That person or those persons in our home. We must remove any object that would get in the way of us being successful in that search. Sometimes we are the problem. Ouch. Sometimes issues in our own lives may be blocking that other person or preventing or discouraging that other person in our own family from coming back into fellowship in God's house and in full and complete relationship with Him. But we must remember that only one piece is lost. We are not to stop searching until that piece is found. We're not to stop searching until that person that needs to be here is found. And when that person is found, as we invite them back in to fellowship with us, they come into a warm and inviting and exciting and a Holy Spirit-filled church environment where the oneness is so powerful, the oneness with God. It's a safe environment to return to where love is the motive, the same love that Jesus had for you and for me. The love that took Him to Calvary to die on the cross for you and for me. And He would have done it for just one of us. That to me is amazing. That to me is the wonder of it all. That Jesus would have done it just for one precious soul. So I encourage you this morning in love, faith, prayer, seek God's help in helping you and me restore those lost sheep, those lost coins, and so that our children and that everyone in our church may be a recipient of the love of God. You know, the greatest missionary work a parent can do is to minister to their children. Think about that for a moment. Oftentimes we think, well, I really haven't been successful. I really haven't done my work because I haven't been a missionary somewhere in the world. Oh, my friends, moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, your greatest missionary work is in your own home. That's where it starts. And what I love about Jesus is that He values every soul. He doesn't want any to perish. I invite you to look at Christ. Look at Him on the cross. The price that He paid for you and for me. And remember that He risked all for your redemption and mine. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 197, we have these words. Now, this is really encouraging to me. Follow along. Angels will what? help you. Angels will help you reach the most careless and the most hardened. Wow. When one is brought back to God, some of heaven, all heaven is made glad. Seraphs and cherubs touch their golden harps and sing praises to God and the Lamb for their mercy and loving kindness to the children of men. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that amazing? Oh, what a blessing. So this morning, as we leave here today, my invitation to you, my appeal to you, is that you and I, seeking the lost, as they are found and restored, will be rejoicing with the angels.
Stand and sing hymn number 367, Rescue the Perishing. Please stand.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Thank you, Jesus. You have come to save us. You are in heaven now, looking down upon us, doing everything within your power to call us into a relationship with you that is strong, vibrant, and growing. Today we invite you, to Jesus, to put your robe of righteousness around each one of us and keep us in a safe relationship with you. Protect our moms and dads, our grandmas and grandpas, as they reach out to their children and draw them in to that powerful relationship with you. We rejoice with you, Jesus, that you have given us the angels of heaven who are to attend us, who take care of us, who care over us, who watch over us. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. And so we give you all of the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.